We're so excited tonight to have Dr. Don Woodard preaching God's Word to us tonight. The Woodards have been ministry for over 40 years, much of that in evangelism and revival work and traveling around the country. I know at a time they were going around reaching young people, and boy, is that not a ministry that's needed today. Brother Woodard has pastored for 15 years in Roanoke, Virginia area, and very close friend to Dr. Weaver and others as well. Other than traveling and preaching, he's heavily involved in a mission work down in the country of Haiti, in which he's going to give us an update on that and let us know about what's going on down there. And we're excited about having Dr. Woodard. He was here last year and preached a tremendous message, and he's a dear friend to our church and to Pastor Gillett. And we're looking forward to what God has tonight through the preaching of God's Word. So, Brother Woodard, it's good to have you and also your wife here as well. And I know God's going to speak to us tonight through His Word. So, Brother Woodard, you come.
What a blessing to be back here. I am very grateful that Dr. Willie Weaver is my friend. Amen. I appreciate him a lot. And he was years ago in Roanoke and worked with a man named Gene Arnold. And I don't know if y'all know a lot about Brother Arnold, but he got saved under Dr. Barber's dad's ministry. And so he was quite a character, but we miss him in Roanoke, I guarantee you. Can I tell the story real quick about him? Brother, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard a rumor when I first got to Roanoke and moved there and got to know folks here at Fellowship Baptist Church that years ago, back in the 50s or somewhere like that, Oral Roberts came to Roanoke and had a big crusade, a big healing thing and all this kind of thing. He was going to heal people and all that. And Dr. Arnold wasn't real happy about all that. And so he'd get on the radio and he'd tell people, you ought not go to that. And he had upset a lot of people. And I asked a lady at Fellowship, and I say this respectfully, an elderly lady, because now I'm getting elderly myself. But anyway, I said, is it true that Brother Arnold split the church over Oral Roberts coming to Roanoke? And she laughed. She said, preacher, Brother Arnold split Roanoke over Oral Roberts. So anyway, he had a lot of people going on. Anyway, I am honored to be here. My wife's with me. We're traveling a lot. The Lord is blessing. I will give you a brief update about our ministry in Haiti. And I try to write things down so that I don't chase any rabbits and all that kind of thing. But one of my mentors, and you probably heard of this man named Charles Keene, he told me years ago that when God gives you something to do, you need to have a verse. You need to have scripture. The Word of God ought to always be your foundation. And so we have a couple of verses for our ministry in Haiti. And one that I like real well is Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. And we call our ministry in Haiti Light to Haiti. I never planned to have a ministry in Haiti, but the Lord opened doors for us. This year we celebrate 26 years of being in Haiti. And we are now, and I don't want to take time to go over all of this, but we are now working with over 40 national pastors. A lot of American missionaries have had to leave Haiti. Haiti is a dangerous place. There's no government right now. There's places there that are just, you cannot go to. It's just too dangerous. But we're working with over 40 national pastors. And they're great men. They do not have a lot of training, okay? They need a Norris Bible Baptist Institute. They need Brother Stewart to go over there. But we're doing best we can with them, and they're very excited. God is blessing. We have right now sitting in port, I found out today, it just arrived today, a container that has 217,000 John and Roman scripture portions in the Haitian Creole language, 318,000 gospel tracts, and 432 boxes of food. On Saturday, this past Saturday, I had a gentleman contact me that we've done business with before, you might say, ministry-wise. And he said, I have located a container that has 40,000 pounds of food that is on its way to port in Haiti, and you can have it. All you have, don't you love when they say, all you have to do All you have to do is get a truck to get the food unloaded out of a container at Cap Haitian and taken to your place, which is 3 hours away on a bunch of really bad roads. And he said, that's all you got to do. Well, to do that cost about $3,500. So all I got to do. So anyway, but the Lord knows about it, and we're excited. And the reason that all those gospel tracts and all of that has been shipped to Haiti, we're also having 40,000 flyers that are going to be flown over there. They're getting printed now. Because in June, if you pray about this, June 5th, 6th, and 7th, I get pretty happy talking about this. June 5th, 6th, and 7th, I'll be going into Haiti. I'll be there for about a week. In those 3 days, we're going to have an evangelistic crusade in 3 different areas. The total population of these areas is 130,000 people. And so this will be out in the open air. We'll have PA systems and generators to operate those and singing. And they're going to be passing out the flyers and the gospel tracts, inviting people to come. And in Haiti, they will come to something like that. See, in Haiti, they don't have Netflix. So they go to church. Okay? And so they'll go to these kind of things because they'll get to hear singing and everybody be together. And we're going to promote that we have some New Testaments we've shipped over there. So we're going to promote, hey, if you come, we'll have the New Testaments for those that get saved. And we're very excited about this. We have the possibility of giving the gospel to 130,000 people in 3 days. And so all of that we're doing, the Lord's doing it. I'm just, I don't do much anything right around the car. But you pray, and I'll tell you a way you could help us. One is we have a little kind of a prayer sheet back there for the crusade and some things that we need. And big thing to pray for is our safety. So if you want to stop by the table, pick up one of those prayer sheets, that would be good. And then we have a book that came out last year about our ministry. I'm trying to hurry with all this because I got somewhere I want to go to the Bible in a minute. But we put this book out last year. It's called This Little Light of Mine. And if you don't mind, I did put my testimony, and I'm a bus kid. And I have my testimony in here and kind of how I ended up in Haiti. And it talks about the history of Haiti, the government. The Haitian government was founded on a satanic ritual. The people that formed the government, it's too disgusting for me to tell you what they did, but they conducted a satanic ritual. That's how they formed their government. That's why God's never blessed. That's why nothing good is coming out of Haiti. There's a lot of demonic activity there. So there's a little bit of information about the history of the government. There's information here about the religions of Haiti. Now, some groups, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm not being mean or anything, but for example, the Catholic Church in Haiti will tell the Haitian, you can be Catholic and still practice voodoo. Well, the Bible's completely against witchcraft and demon stuff. So anyway, so this stuff like that in here. And then it tells a little bit about what we're doing, what's going on there, what God's doing. And so this is a kind of a fundraiser. And we asked for a $15 donation for that. And all the proceeds from this go to help us with all this money that we have to raise for the crusade and all of that that's going on. A couple other books. I had these last time I was here, I believe. My book, Marrying the Right One. And Dr. Stewart graciously endorsed this book. I appreciate him doing that. And then Seven Voices in Your Life is kind of a spiritual growth book and one of my more popular books. There's seven voices in your life. And you say, preacher, what are they? Meet me at the table and I'll tell you there because I don't want to take time on that right now. And then another popular book I have is called Living Above Depression. Teen years, because of some things that happened in my life, I struggled with depression, and so I wrote a book about that. So anyway, okay, that's all that, and I don't like commercials. My wife always mutes the television with commercials, and so she muted me while she's sitting back here. You just couldn't tell. But anyway, I am glad to be here, and we had a wonderful time. By the way, this morning we were at the Homeless No More Baptist Church. I like that place. God showed up there this morning. And we had a homeless lady came this morning and was gloriously saved. It was wonderful. I was excited about it. And so now I get to be here tonight, and I'm honored and glad and excited about that too. If you would, please, find in your Bible the book of Genesis. And I just kind of want to share a few things with you. Now, this, and some of you, there's a lot of preachers in here, I know, and my outline's kind of a mess. Sometimes you end up, you go through it, and you scratch this out, and you add that and everything, but I'm just going to do best I can with it, and I love the topic. I'm going to tell you that. It's one of my favorite topics because I'm going to talk about relationships. So let's read our text first in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 26. We'll read down to verse 31, then we'll make our prayer, and I just want to talk to you about this a little bit, and I believe something here might encourage you. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And the Lord God, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that was made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now let's make our prayer. Lord, we do thank you tonight that we have a Bible. We thank you that you've preserved it for us, and it's inspired, and it's to help us. Lord, I just ask that you'd speak to us tonight on the idea of relationships, and that we might maybe strengthen the relationships that we have and value our relationships more and value our relationship with you more. And I pray for clarity of thought. And Father, if there is one here tonight that does not have a relationship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this be the hour of their salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we love you, Jesus. We thank you for loving us. Amen. Several years ago, I was at a conference, and I came home. It was over 10 years ago now, and I told my wife, I said, I want to study relationships in the Bible. And so, I'd been in the ministry now 40 years, at the time about 30 years. So I had studied about marriage and raising youngins, and we raised five, we raised five because we didn't want six. But anyway, I'd done some studying about relationships, but I really felt a need for myself to study about relationships. And the study of relationships in the Bible has changed my life. And one of the things I've studied a lot is my relationship with myself. I have a new book coming out this year called Your Relationship with You, A Christ-Centered Approach. And I won't get into that part of it right now, but I'm excited about that. But I found that life truly is about relationships. I learned a few things. I want to share this part with you by way of introduction. I learned that God created you for the purpose of a relationship. The reason you're sitting here breathing air right now is because God wants a relationship with you. And I love this thought. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a conversation. They kind of had a meeting. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So they discussed that. They discussed the creation of the first man. And I believe they got together and had a conversation before they created you. You were planned. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You were planned, okay? And God has a purpose, and the main purpose is for you to have a relationship with him. And then I thought about that, I learned that the Ten Commandments are about relationships. The first four are about our relationship, of the Ten Commandments, are about our relationship with God. The remaining six are about our relationship with each other. The two commandments Jesus gave us are about relationships. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. So that's about our relationship with God. The second, he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. So the two commandments Jesus gave are about relationships. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find that Jesus speaks a lot in that sermon about relationships. You read the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches. Much of what he says has to do about our relationship with God, our relationship in marriage, our relationship in the family with our children in the home and so on, and then our relationship with each other in the church and our relationship with the world. So life is about relationships. So I want to just share a few thoughts with you. I may not get to all of them, but I want to share a few thoughts with you about having, you might say, having better relationships or strengthening your relationships a little bit. So think about this, and this thought helped me a lot, and maybe it'll help you tonight. But I want you to just for a moment, before we get too far into this, think about the greatest challenges you have in life. Or today we use the word issues a lot. I like that word, issues. The issues or challenges or problems you have. Most of the problems you deal with every day in your life right now, challenges you have in life right now, are connected to a person or to a relationship. And there's some of us deal with things, problems and challenges today because of a relationship of the past. Because someone hurt us or something happened or whatever. Secondly, think about this. Most of the blessings you have in life are connected to a person or a relationship. So when, you know, you can lose everything financially, even if we have really bad health, if we still have people that love us, we're blessed. If you have someone in your life, I mean, I know the Lord does, but if you have a person in your life that truly, truly loves you, and you know they would die for you, and they would give their all for you, and you know if you couldn't take care of yourself, they would take care of you. If you have a person that loves you that much, you are blessed. You are blessed. So let me give you a few thoughts here. First thing I want to talk about is the idea that love is a decision. Love is a decision. We're commanded to love God, and we're commanded to love our neighbor. And within our marriage and so on, we're commanded to love our spouse. Now, our ability to love, write this on your heart, our ability to love flows from our purposeful love of God. See, we're told to love God. So we have to do that on purpose. So our ability to love other people, including the lost and people that maybe look different and act different than us, our ability to love them has to flow from our purpose, our purposeful love of God. We're to love the Lord our God with our heart, mind, and soul. And then we're to love our neighbor. The word love, I looked a lot high and low for a good definition of love, and here's one I like, okay? Love is a purposeful commitment to a sacrificial action for another. Now, one of our favorite, the most quoted, memorized verse in the world is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That, what Christ did on the cross, was an expression of God's love, and it was also a commitment of his love. But it was also the result of a decision he made to love us. When Adam and Eve messed up, he could have just washed his hand of it and said, just let them die. But he didn't do that because he loved them and he loves us. So love is a decision, love is a commitment, and love is an action. And then another thing that's real important in a relationship is trust. Now, we talk about having faith in the Lord. We need to have faith in God. That's a fact. I like the word trust and faith are synonyms, okay? But to me, this is just the way I see it. Trust is more, is faith on a more personal level, all right? I believe my Bible because I trust God. Now, this may not be the best illustration, but I kind of like it and I use it. And I have a great mechanic. His name's Tony, okay? And Tony, I go on a long trip. I take my car to Tony. I say, Tony, now I had I had a different car, and that car died. It had 240,000 miles. I don't know why it gave up, but anyway. So I take my car to Tony. I say, Tony, I'm getting ready to take this car on a trip, and I need you to just check it out. And he'll change oil, and he goes over everything, and, you know, high and low. He checks everything out, and I go pick it up. And first thing he says, you owe me $100. And so I do anyway. So I say, Tony, now, is this car ready to go? Can I take this car to Texas? I live in Virginia. Can I take that car? And he'll say to me, you are not going to have any problem. That car is in fine condition. Everything's good. And so I have faith that my car is going to get me to Texas because I trust the man that looked it over for me. I trust my mechanic. Does that make sense? So faith is trust on a more personal level. And in a relationship, trust is extremely important. Now, my daughter, all my children are wonderful. Amen. Like their mom. And so, see why I say things like that? That helps my program. But anyway, so my youngest daughter, Jennifer, she really is. We're real proud of her, and she's just amazing. Well, she had a daycare for a while, and she was taking care of these little kids. And the one lady that she was trying to help had some serious marital problems, okay? Her husband had stepped outside of the marriage, and it was a bad situation, everything. And so my daughter's trying to help her and all this, and they're talking to her pastor, which was good and everything. And so my daughter said, we saw about it, she said, Dad, she said, I think that when trust is broken, it cannot be rebuilt. She said, now this is powerful. Here's what she said. She said, new trust has to be built. She said, you don't want to build the old trust. You have to build new trust. So the point is that trust is extremely important in our relationships. In the marriage relationship, our children need to trust us. We need to be able to trust them. But trust is extremely important in every way, in every relationship. You want to trust each other within the church. You want to know that you can confide in people about things, and you could tell them, and they'll pray for you, and they're not going to cause a problem over. So trust is important. Now, here's the next thought, real quick. I want to get through this. Good relationships are intentional. Debbie and I have some friends in Roanoke there. They've been married 67 years now. And this fellow's name is Raymond Hall. And Raymond Hall is one of the happiest people you'll ever meet in your life. And sadly, they had two sons. They just had two sons. All the children had two sons. And both their children have died. Just terrible. But they're still happy and they love the Lord. And they have an absolutely wonderful marriage. Every day at 12:15, he gives her a kiss. Every day. I've been with him. He'll say, excuse me. And he'll get up and he'll go over and kiss his wife. And he'll say, every day at 12:15, I have to kiss her. And I said, well, why is that? Why? He said, well, when we both worked, we got a break at 12:15 or 12 o'clock. And by 12:15, we've called each other on the phone and talked to each other. We were still working. So now that we're retired, every day at 12:15, I kiss her. He said, I still like kissing her. Amen. But if you were to go to Raymond and say, Raymond, you know, you and Miss Phyllis, you have a wonderful marriage. Y'all just adore each other and just love each other. And how is it that you have this great marriage? You know what Raymond Hall's not going to say? He's not going to say, I don't know. He's not going to tell you that. He's going to basically tell us when things were bad, we just still loved each other. When we couldn't always get along with each other, we just still loved each other. We'd made a commitment to just go ahead and love each other. They have a good marriage today because all these years they intentionally worked at having a good marriage. Good relationships, whether it's a marriage, relationships within the church, relationships within the family, relationships within the workplace, if they're going to be good relationships, they're going to have to be done intentionally. And it has to be, especially in a marriage, a good relationship has to be intentional on both sides. And can I give you this? A good relationship, to be intentional, has to have a good foundation. And that foundation is Christ. And a good relationship also has a common bond. And the common bond is Christ. good relationships in the church. New Testament church, we have a common bond. We have a common purpose. The Great Commission. To love Him. To love one another. Edify one another. We have a common bond. But we have to do those things intentionally. And then can I give you this? This is a real important point. I love this. This will help us. Good relationships require sacrifices. Can I show you something? Look over chapter 3 and verse 6. We'll read part of this. Chapter 3, verse 6, Genesis 3, 6, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So we know about that part, right? Now notice verse 21. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now the fig leaves thing wasn't enough. That was kind of a work salvation. And can I give you this? I'm working on this thought. If you could forgive yourself, if self-forgiveness was a real thing and that solved everything, then the aprons of fig leaves would have done the job. There's nothing in the Bible about forgiving yourself. There's a lot in the Bible about God forgiving us and us accepting God's forgiveness. But here's where we're going. They messed up. They ate of the forbidden tree. God did not throw them away. Now, this is real important. God did not do them wrong. God did not sin against them. God did not break His word to them. They disobeyed God. But God came to them. And God made a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice to cover them. Now, imagine this. Adam and Eve, and this part does bother me about the Garden of Eden. They were vegetarians. The cows I eat or steak from are all vegetarians. But anyway, so they ate fruit and the vegetable, all the stuff that was growing out of the ground. God said, eat all this. But they didn't eat meat at this point. Okay? So here's the thought. They had never seen death. Now think about this a moment. I can't prove it happened this way, but I think it did. I think that God got a lamb. I believe it's always been a lamb. Say amen. I believe God got a lamb for Adam and a lamb for Eve. And in front of them, He took the life of those lambs and shed the blood of those lambs in front of them. They had never seen death. And He made a covering for them. Now here's the thought. A good relationship requires sacrifices. Adam and Eve sinned against God, but God was the one to make the sacrifice, to make the relationship, to reconcile the relationship. See, sometimes we have a problem in our a relationship within our family, and we get this bad spirit, and we say, I'm not going to talk to them again. I'm never going to see them again. I don't want this to be right. They've wronged me, and I'm just going to avoid them, and I'm going to have bitterness in my heart and hate them the rest of their lives. That's not Christian. Sometimes the one that's in the right needs to be the one willing to make a sacrifice to heal the relationship or to mend the relationship. But good relationships always are going to require someone to make a sacrifice. Sometimes to improve things, make things better, and sometimes to make things right. So sacrifices. Can I give you another thought real quick? I love a couple of these things, okay? I call this the give people a voice. I'm watching my time. Okay, good. We're good on time. Okay, give people a voice. It's interesting. When God called out to Adam and Eve, and He said, Adam, where are you? Where art thou? Where are you? And I love that, okay? And when I first started studying this stuff, I got to tell you, I started this, and I had a little notebook, and I started going through the Bible and writing thoughts down that I saw that were connected to relationships, okay? And in a short time, I had 68 pages of thoughts, just thoughts that I got out of the Bible about relationships. Are you ready? Those 68 thoughts are all in the first four chapters of Genesis, okay? That's how rich Genesis is about relationships. Anyway, so God called out and said, Adam, where art thou? Now, that always kind of got my attention because he's God. Why would he have to ask? He knew where Adam was at. So why did he call out and say, Adam, where are you at? It was because Adam needed to know where he was. Adam needed to know where he was not, and where he was not in the will of God, okay? But here's the point. Here's our thought, okay? We need to give people a voice. When God called out to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? God was silent. And God let Adam speak. When Adam spoke, God listened to him. And Adam said, well, we're hiding because we're naked. And God said, Adam, who told you that? And then God was silent, and God let Adam speak. The point is, we need to listen to each other. I'm not a good listener. I get busy. I got stuff on my mind. Right now, I'm trying to figure out how to unload 40,000 pounds of food in Haiti without being there, okay? I got stuff on my mind. So I don't always listen, but listening's important. The word heart, H-E-A-R-T, the first four letters of heart spell hear, H-E-A-R. We need to hear with our heart. But can I give you a real quick little story? In 40 years, my wife and I figured this up one day, we've had, I think, 26 young people live in our home. And we never were with foster caring. We just had young people that come live with us, and we helped them. We tried to help them. We had a young lady live with us for a while that had a terrible life. She had been in foster care a lot and all this kind of thing. And she was 17 when she came to live with us. She said, I'm only going to be here 6 weeks because I'm turning 18. Well, she stayed over a year. Anyway, so she's sitting there one day, and she's having a meltdown. I mean, she is just screaming and hollering and crying and just unloading everything and just telling me all this stuff that's happened in her life. And just, I mean, it was just terrible. Just for 30 minutes, she just went on and on, and I just sat there. And she's crying and screaming and everything. And finally, she looked at me and she yells at me. She said, aren't you going to say anything? And I said, no. I said, I know you need to say something, so you go ahead. It's okay. And then she started crying worse. And she looked at me and she said this. Now, she started going to psychiatrists when she's 5. Uncle beat her, nearly killed her. She started going to psychiatry as soon as she's 5. She looked at me and she said, tears streaming down her face. She said, no one's ever listened to me before. She just needed somebody to listen. There's power in listening to each other. We need to hear each other. And all our wives rightly accuse us of having selective hearing. And we need to work on that. Say amen right there, men. Amen. We need to work on that, me included. I got my hand up. So we need to give people a voice. Let me give you this. I call this, and I'm going to be done soon, but I call this the principle of the first word spoken. Now, it's interesting. We won't read all of it. We should, really, because what the Bible says is more important than what I'm saying, but we've all heard kind of funny things about this. When God created the woman, and by the way, her name is woman until before they're put out of the garden, then her name's changed to Eve, but that's another story. That's another application. So God created a woman, and when he woke Adam up from anesthesia, because he operated on him and said, here's woman. Here, look what I made for you. And Adam looked at her, and he said, whoa, man. No, he said, you will be called woman because you're part of me. And what he said, when you read it, to us, it's not real romantic, but he was telling her how beautiful she was. And he was telling her that, you know, this was a magnificent thing that God had created a helpmeet for him. So the first word spoken is important. Same young lady I just told you about. In the morning, I have a routine. I put on coffee. Can I get a witness? I sit in our family room, and I drink coffee, and I read my Bible. Well, I was sitting there one morning, and this young lady that I was telling you about a minute ago, I'm going to tell you another story about her. She would come out of her room and kind of come down a little hall, and she'd come through the family room to go to the kitchen. And so she'd come in, and I called her Sunshine. She called me Big Sunshine. I called her Little Sunshine. So she'd come out of that room, and this one morning she's walking. So every morning I said the same thing to her. I said, "Good morning, Sunshine. How are you today?" Well, this particular morning she kind of looked at me, and she turned around, she went back to her room. And a minute later, she comes back out again. And she's staring at me. And she's got tears welled up in her eyes. And I said, "Good morning, Sunshine. How are you today?" And she stood, she looked at me a second, and she went back in her room. And she came out a third time. And tears are coming down her face. I said, "Good morning, Sunshine. How are you today?" He starts, I said, "Aaron, stop." I said, "Why do you keep going in your room and coming back out?" Tears coming down her face, she said this. She said, "I've never had anybody be glad to see me before. And every morning, you act like you want me here, and you're glad just to see me." The first word spoken. You remember Archie Bunker? Huh? Y'all remember? I know we didn't watch him because we're Christians. We watch the reruns now, don't you? Anyway, one time old Archie comes downstairs and Edith's in the kitchen, and he comes in there and he pushes the door open. He's all upset. He said, "Edith, you have got to trim your toenails. You were tossing and turning and you ripped my legs to shreds last night. Doesn't that just say I love you in about 1,000 different ways first thing in the morning?" No, the first thing in the morning, the first word spoken to each other and to your children. Don't start jumping on your kids first thing in the morning. They got to go face all this stuff at school. They got to go walk out in the world. Don't jump on your husband first thing in the morning because he left his socks on the floor. He's been doing that ever since you've been married to him. Don't jump on him about all of that. He's got to go conquer the world for you today. The first word spoken should be words of encouragement and edification and love and kindness. Can I show you one more thing? I'm done. Look over with me real quick. I think I got a minute. Yeah, oh boy, I got to hurry. Okay, notice this real quick in Deuteronomy. I'm going to skip one thing. I'm going to show you this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, all right? I'm going to read this to you real quick. Verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words," notice this, "and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now watch this. "And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Now write this on your heart. Good relationship behaviors are taught first in the home, and so are bad ones. What it's telling us there is we ought to live right in front of our children. We learn what I call relationship behaviors from our early life role models. My father, I'm not being mean, my father was drunk a long time, and he was a violent man. And he screamed and cussed a whole lot. And he didn't think very much. If he was in his way, he'd pick you up and throw you against the wall. And I learned bad relationship behaviors as growing up, okay? And I had to relearn some things. So I'm saying this is telling us that we need to behave in our home We ought to have relationship behaviors that are relationship behavior. There are behaviors of love. Can I say it that way? Because our good relationship behaviors are taught first in the home, and so are bad ones. So we need to do right in our home, in our relationships. And I don't know about you, but I know I need a lot of work in that area, and I'm always working on me. I'm just trying to grow me, okay? And I live on this little thought. I don't claim to be a teacher. I don't claim to be an expert in anything. I'm a learner. I'm trying to learn something because I have this idea that I can learn something that God will give me that will help me so I can help someone else. But I just ask tonight, and I have our brother come and take the service, but just maybe tonight, if you've got an area and relationships in your life that you need to pay attention to, maybe you need to listen a little better. Maybe you need to work on that thing about the first word spoken, and maybe be trustworthy. But whatever it might be that God helped you with that with tonight, you just follow what the Lord does. My brother, you come ahead. Thank you so much.
Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A lot to consider tonight from the message. From our relationships to the words that we say. How has your words today been? Have they been edifying? Have they been encouraging? Or has that been a struggle today? I think all of us could examine our hearts and see maybe some of the relationships that we've talked to today with people that we love and care for, and ask ourselves the question, was that an encouragement today? Father, you've spoken to our hearts tonight through your word. I pray that you'd help us to examine ourselves tonight to see if there's something that hasn't been edifying coming out of our mouth today. Reminded of so much scripture that talks about our words and our speech and our lifestyle. It really does make a difference. So Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our heart tonight. Help us do business with you. If we've sinned in our life and we've wronged somebody today or this week, Lord, convict us where we need to be convicted. We'll thank you for it. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, as Brother Corey sings, you come and do business with the Lord tonight.